Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Do you remember the podcast? It's the worst
what
one.
What antiques are you talking about this week?
It's the worst. No, let's not pussyfoot around this one. That was the worst one. Well, you know, Ken, it's frog weather. And frog weather always gets me thinking.
Sorry. Frog weather?
It's frog weather.
Frog weather.
Yep.
As in ribbit ribbit?
As in ribbit ribbit.
Okay, because I misheard you grievously.
Oh dear lord, what did you hear?
I thought you said prom weather.
No.
And I had a moment of severe confusion.
No. I wouldn't say anything like that.
Frog weather, on the other hand, I can get on board with.
That's good, and you have to, because it's frog weather. You know, it's rainy. It's above freezing.
Yeah, dude, both these things are true.
I'm using the excuse of solitary nesting bees to avoid doing yard work. And that got me thinking about one thing. Vintage seed catalogs and seed packets.
That is not where I anticipated this train of thought going, but I am still on board.
Out of curiosity, where did you think it was going?
Frog related in any way.
Have we done flower frogs?
Literally anything to do with frogs, with the opener being frog weather.
Wait, fuck, have we done flower frogs?
Have we?
I don't know, we've been doing this for such a long time. Honestly, I don't even know if people would notice if we started repeating.
So, is today's episode about flower frogs?
No, it's about vintage seed catalogs and packets, but now I wish it were. I gotta find out, because somewhere in my head I thought we'd already done them.
This is a mess.
Welcome to my life.
Please tell me all about vintage seed catalogs.
And packets.
And packets.
Were they a part of your childhood growing up?
No!
What? But you lived out in the country.
You can't plant vintage seeds.
Well, no, but like seed packets in general. Well, okay, this is one of those things that only I experienced, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't gonna say it, but I was thinking it very loudly.
Yeah, well, sometimes my mom and I, we would find vintage seed packets at the antique store, and we would tape them to just plain old manila envelopes that we would keep our seeds in, because in addition to being a Victorian and an antiques enthusiast, I was also raised a gardener.
That's so cute.
So once the weather is in the unpleasant part of spring, I really start looking forward to gardening. And then I started wondering, where do all these vintage seed packets come from? Because they're one of my favorite things to find ever. So many of my high school journals were covered in them. They are beloved, they are beautiful, and they just get me excited for spring.
You've really led a very Pinterest life, haven't you?
That's such an insult. That's the second meanest thing anyone ever said to me. Second only to when I showed John one of my favorite bands, and he said it sounded like a man whining over an extremely mid guitar riff.
Whoa!
It was the Deftones, if anyone's wondering. I feel like everyone just agreed with John just then.
I mean,
I've lived the kind of life that Pinterest doesn't want to show you, which is what it's actually like living those lives, which is a lot messier on the inside, but fun. The first thing I learned, which I was delighted to learn, is that seed packets for selling garden seeds are actually attributed to the Shakers.
Not the butchers or the bakers or the candlestick makers?
Nope, just the Shakers. Specifically the Wateervliet Shakers of Colony, spelt I-E, in New York. While of course people sold seeds, that's how farmers did, usually seeds were bought in bulk for large capacity farming. The Shakers decided to sell the seeds that they grew and harvested in little paper packets.
Small scale.
Small scale farming was on the rise, and they saw an opportunity and they took it. Now, frequently these would actually be printed and sold in these sweet little boxes, visually kind of similar to a printer's tray where there's just little holes for each of the packets. You can still find these today, although they're extremely expensive, but it's the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my goddamned life. Now, David Landreth of Philadelphia had actually opened America's first seed house in 1784, but at the time that was still being sold in bulk, and he hadn't moved over to the beautiful idea of a paper packet. And things only really ever fully popped off when printing became more affordable and easy. In fact, trade cards, which were colorful, funny, or beautiful to look at, were introduced at the Philadelphia Centennial Exposition in 1876, specifically to get people interested in collecting and scrapbooking these little collectible cards in the hopes that the brands would stick in their minds and be the ones people went to. Now, as for catalogs go back way farther. The first known garden catalog appeared in the 1612 Frankfurt Fair with a Dutch bulb catalog, go figure, leave it to the Dutch, called the Florilegium. I'm not going to say the rest of it because I'm not Dutch, by Emanuel Swiertz.
This wouldn't be the tulip bulbs that crashed their economy, would it?
Oh, it's definitely a part of the tulip bulbs that done crashed their economy.
Fantastic.
Setting the stage for crypto markets for years to come. Now, as for the modern garden catalog, while high-end bulb houses such as Emanuel Swiertz would often market through catalogs, this is expensive and kind of meant for the upper class. But moving into 1876, we see the Philadelphia-based W. Attlee Burpee and Company become a mail-order seed business in which they would publish an annual catalog that described its very many flowers, vegetables, fruits, and bulbs. And you might recognize Burpee.
I do recognize Burpee. That's the end of that thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a biggin. More on Burpee later. There's also Joseph Breck, best known for fucking lying in the modern age, began his seed business in 1818, a founding member of the American Seed Trade Association, and also published an annual catalog of their available products, and was kind of the first to up the ante with making the illustrations bigger, more colorful, and more rich. Some would say to the point of distorting the truth. Some would say a tradition that continues now.
What?
Rex, if you didn't know, is a high-end seed, mostly bulb catalog, best known for their sometimes exclusive and otherwise just hard to find cultivars of various bulb and rhizome plants, and best known for photoshopping the fuck out of it.
Oh no. Not shown actual size.
Yeah, I think I'm like the only person who continually gets like really pissed off about it, but like I just don't like dishonesty in marketing.
That's valid. You're valid.
Nice. Unfortunately, by 1901, Burpee had swapped over to a fully mechanized photo engraving process for the catalogs, which began the slow decline of a lush hand-drawn illustration until they were completely swapped in for photography.
Boo.
Boo indeed.
If you're gonna rob illustrators of jobs, the least you can do is not fucking Photoshop. If you're gonna Photoshop, you might as well hire someone to draw it.
That's what I'm be saying.
That is what you be saying.
That's what I'm be saying. Now, meanwhile, for a little while, we did have the wonderful innovation of the lithography print, which would, of course, become the golden era of both seed packets and seed catalogs. And they would do such a good job that actually a lot of seed packets are the exact same.
Oh.
For example, there is Schmid Litho Co. Seed Packets, a company that, as the name suggests, did lithography. And what they did is they had their illustrators do illustrations of common plants. They printed seed packets with the plants and they put them in a box until a seed company ordered them, at which point they would add the name of the company to the bottom.
Wow.
This includes Rowdebush Seed Store, which made me so happy to read, and Lago Marcino and Sons, as well as hundreds of other companies that were buying basically the first stock image. Of course, people would quickly become very aggressive about outdoing each other, which would start diversifying the number of lithography companies that would be printing seeds, Burpee being one of them. In fact, some of Burpee's early seed packets were hand-tinted.
Ooh.
Speaking of Burpee, Burpee is some of the most valuable seed packets you can find after a certain point. While some people do like the 1970s yada yada vintage seeds, it's the real 19th century seed packets for Burpee that are super in vogue 24/7. What I do find really fun about seed packets is that the way that they're being presented is sometimes a window into their age. Sometimes extremely blatantly, any unbranded seed packet is actually from the 1910s or earlier. A lot of companies just didn't bother paying the extra to have their brand printed on the packet. Almost any seed packet you find in America from the 1930s to the 1950s was printed by Schmidt Lithography, and they will be marked that on the back, which can be very helpful to narrow it down to anywhere from the 30s to 50s.
A mere 20-year span.
Other companies include the Galloway Lithography Company, who had the very helpful quirk of just putting the copyright on the lower left corner of the packet.
Handy.
Which includes companies such as Burt's, The Seed Card Co., Lone Star Seed, and F.F. Smith & Company. One really cool thing, the current known number of Schmidt Litho Co. packets is 2,900. That is the highest packet that has been discovered. There could be more. I didn't know there were that many plants back then. And in terms of catalogs, while most of them are pretty easy to find, there are such anomalies as the 1877 Burpee Seeds Catalog, one of the earliest ones, with 50 full-color plates, of which only 10,000 were printed. And who knows how many survived, because pretty much from the get-go, so the 1870s to now, tearing apart seed catalogs and seed packets to decorate things is one of the most popular things to do with these motherfuckers, which means there are not as many catalogs left intact as there once was. What I do really like about these is that an 1877 Burpee seed catalog, a holy grail, that's $100 or so, which in the world of low quantity numbered objects is really cheap.
I was gonna say, expensive for a seed packet, but cheap for an antique.
Yeah, especially an antique that old. And other than putting in little jaunty frames, or, man, I saw a cabinet that was completely, like, decoupaged in seed packets. It was so pretty, I loved it. Seed catalogs and seed packets from the olden times actually are really useful pieces to study from. The seed packets and catalogs can include varieties of plants that might now be extinct or very rare, the requirements for growing, the planting schedules of the age. In fact, seed catalogs were one of the most important parts in the modern preservation of heirloom seeds today. Since a lot of this wasn't written down, they kind of have served as the history of what these plants looked like, what their seeds looked like, how to grow them, and have currently led to the immaculate preservation of a lot of heritage breeds, which I think is just plain neat. Do you know what the mangle is?
No, is this Stephen King's The Mangler?
No, that's the mangler. This is the mangle. Mangle, or mongel.
Is it like a mechanized thresher?
Well, we're talking about seed packets, so that's going to give you a little bit of a hint about what it is.
Yeah, like a mechanized thresher to get the seeds out of the plants.
It's a plant. It's a plant.
So the mangler itself is a plant?
The mangelwurzel, or the root of scarcity.
Oh man, we found it? The thing that's causing all the scarcity?
We found the thing that caused the scarcity. It was, to quote Benjamin Rush, a being of mongrel species of beet.
Fantastic.
And this mongrel beet was lost for ages until people found the pamphlets that had been printed about the mangelwurzel. I don't know why they were doing that.
I mean, if I found the thing that was causing all the scarcity in the world, I'd be pretty excited about it. Perhaps even excited enough to print a pamphlet.
And it was just an ugly beet the whole time.
Yeah, that's buck wild. I gotta tell somebody.
And what's cool is you can grow it now.
No, that reintroduces the scarcity.
They're not good. Here's one fun thing about them. They're not good to eat.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured as much from the name. Usually a thing that's good to eat and that I eat on purpose and not when I'm literally starving isn't called the root of scarcity.
Well, it's called that because it was something you'd only eat when you were desperate, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you look at heritage seeds of the mangelwurzel, everyone will very cheerfully tell you that it is prized as animal feed.
Great.
Which isn't what I usually say about the delicious things I grow.
I mean, you know.
What actually kicked this off for me is that I came into possession via a dear friend of one of these early seed quote-unquote catalogs, which actually takes the form of a little book.
Yep, that's what a catalog is.
But it's like a bound book. I think the kids, they think of catalogs as paper.
Is this not paper?
But it's got like a cover and a back, like a book.
Okay.
Which I think some people don't think of those as catalogs. Maybe they do. I could be wrong.
Do you think of catalogs? Write in antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
Happily not one day in my life, you might say. Yeah, ultimately the thing I love the most about vintage seed packets is that they're super, super cheap because there's so fucking many of them. And they're gorgeous. They're just the most gorgeous thing. One really fun thing I learned is actually that people were so focused on outdoing, like, the most luscious illustration that after a point, they don't really represent the plants anymore, as suggested with the Brax catalog, which it turns out has tripped up a lot of people trying to categorize certain plants because they kept trying to match it to an illustration, which was a fantasy item. There was never a beet so beautiful.
The real beautiful beet was the friends you made along the way.
And honestly, look up the mangelwurzel. It is a gorgeous beet. It's disappointing that it's not delicious.
There's a metaphor in there somewhere, but fuck if I'm gonna go through the effort of digging it out.
Well, That's great. Thank you. Thank you for your effort in this. Way to go, bro. Way to go, buddy.
Yor did it.
And one of the other fun things about CPAC, it's since they do maintain a pretty, like, low value, that sounds so much harsher than I meant for it to, but, I mean, when you're paying, like, $3 for something, that's what you're gonna say, is that the ones that are higher value is almost entirely just based on how cool they are. Like, beauty really leads the pack. Get it? CPAC? Do you get it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Anyway. Ooh, cold today.
It's not cold, it's frog weather.
Yeah, well, for a human, it's cold.
Oh, solution become frog.
And there's so many of the goddamn things that this is one of the few antiques that I will, like, if you said, cool, I have 30,000 in my garage and I'm going to cover my car in them, I would say, like, go ahead. That sounds fucking rad.
Go ahead, make my day.
Yeah, make my day and show me your vintage seed packet car. Except unless it's really old, and then please preserve history with us.
Preserve it on my car. Slap.
Like, if you have, like, a water Vliette shaker seed packet, maybe don't glue that to your car.
I'm getting mixed signals here.
Be careful. How's that? How's that for a message?
I will very carefully glue it to my car.
Okay, well, there I fucked up, and it's all over. I'm told that these are easier to find in other parts of the country. I've always found them a little more elusive.
Well, okay. I love Massachusetts very dearly. I would not call it the agricultural center of the United States.
Yeah, that's probably why, honestly.
I think that may be a contributing factor to the dearth of antique seed packets.
Well, now you're making me feel stupid. So if you're in New England, get fucked. We only deserve potatoes.
We say that every week. If you're in New England, get fucked.
Get fucked. God didn't give us any breaks, so why should we? That's actually, if you look really carefully, that's actually the official motto of Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's on the state quarter and everything.
That's why everyone drives the way they do. So I guess enjoy all of your affordable, beautiful seed packets, the Midwest. You got us again. I love Ohio, I'll just say that.
My heart is there.
Yeah, well actually, a lot of historical carousels are there, but that too, I guess.
So cut my wrists and block my eyes.
No, I just get on a carousel.
But how else will I fall asleep tonight or die?
Get on the carousel.
Okay.
They used to go way faster, you might.
Sounds fake, but okay.
I just wanted to be the hero that came to Ohio's rescue.
The one guy standing up for Ohio.
He loves Ohio. So that's just a little bit about how much I like seed packets, and thanks for listening to me talk about how much I like them, because they're nice.
Indeed they are.
You should show me your seed packets, Ken.
AntiquesRicksPodcast@gmail.com.
Go get some. I want to see them. I live in New England. We're not allowed to have nice things out here. Sources for today include library.si.edu, Cultivating America's Gardens. TheLabelMan.com, collecting seed packets.
There's always one.
There's always one. You'll never guess what else he has information on. LancasterFarming.com, garden history depicted in old seed catalogs. NewYorker.com, what we learned from leafing through seed catalogs, which I accessed legally.
Of course.
TooManyTomatoes.blogspot.com, makes me laugh every time. And EmpressOfDirt.net, that's the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen, seed catalog history.
If you would like to suggest an episode topic or just say hello, you can email us directly, AntiquesFreaksPodcast@gmail.com. You can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends. You can tag us on Tumblr, AntiquesFreaks.tumblr.com, or on Instagram at Instagram.com/AntiquesFreaks.
If you want to personally curse us out for living in New England, feel free to scroll on down to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave us a 5-star review. It's so cold out there. 5 stars.
In fairness, the Midwest is also cold. And if you need more Antiques Freaks in your week, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where every week we read and review a chapter of the Victorian Penny Dreadful, Varney the Vampire, The Feast of Blood. Special thanks to our patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.